If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Aqueous and their tune 6 and 7s recorded live at the Ardmore Theater in Philadelphia, September 18th, 2020, a show available now in wide release wherever you stream or listen to music. I've been a fan of Aqueous for quite some time and have always been impressed with Mike Ganser's approach to the band's evolution. With the COVID-19 pandemic still in our midst, bands like Aqueous are short on options to play live and make a living. So with the release of the Ardmore concert, I decided to catch up with Mike and find out what he and his bandmates are up to.
You know, luckily, we all still live in the same city here in Buffalo, New York, and that helps a lot because a lot of the peers that I have, you know, in the jam band scene, they all live all spread across the United States or wherever. And that is a huge challenge, especially now, because obviously with the COVID stuff, there's different restrictions between states and, you know, a lot that you run into logistically that makes it difficult. So at least we've got that working for us. And with that in mind, we kind of just were able to at least do some shows wherein, you know, in the very beginning when there was a lot more uncertainty, we were doing a lot of live streaming and like getting together and doing like the live from out there stuff with 1111 group and some stuff with Live for Live Music. And that was actually pretty cool because it was, you know, I mean, I think for a band like ours and just the people that we are, we try to always find the silver lining and stay positive. And, you know, you do adjust. And there was actually some joy that we experienced like performing in that format because it was so different. You know, so much of the nature of improvisation is that, you know, you respond and interact with the audience and the energy of the audience. So to figure out how to do that without them there, so to speak, like, you know, and even to be like communicating with an audience that you couldn't see or hear or experience was like a unique, thing that we went through. But yeah, so pretty much just online streaming. And also we've been able to squeeze in a couple of unique events around, you know, some drive-in situations, which I actually end up coming to really love. And then some like kind of hybrid small venue, you know, less than 10 people in the actual room, like VIP kind of thing for those people. And then an audience online kind of combining the two has been mostly what we've done this year, you know, beyond just practicing and still seeing each other as safely as we can, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious about the whole drive-in thing. You were one of the first bands to do it and to do it in a big way. You know, you played the good old Transit Drive-In in Lockport, New York, I think was one of the first shows that you did. Was it weird playing to a bunch of people hanging out at their cars? I mean, they were all having fun, but that became the standard for many, many bands is to play in a front of parking lot full of people and a parking lot full of cars. Was that a different kind of experience for you guys?
Yeah. So I it's funny, actually, you use both the word weird and different. And I think I would make that distinction because it was different, but it wasn't weird. And really I was kind of surprised by how much it felt like the real thing. I mean, it is the real thing. The people were there, we were on stage. It was almost like kind of, I mean, I think the weirdness of it was just how normal it felt. It was so close to the real thing, you know, as far as what we all, you know, have come to know and love it as, that was almost the weird part where I was like, are we really like, is this okay? Like, are we doing, you know, and luckily we took precautions and worked with, you know, the teams that we put the shows on with to make sure that it was, you know, very safe and respecting, you know, the weight of the, you know, the situation that we're all in right now. But it was kind of amazing. And I have to say that a lot of what surrounded those shows, a lot of the feeling that surrounded those shows was just kind of gratitude because, you know, at that point we hadn't played a show in months, which, you know, kind of now sounds funny, but like for us normally that's a big deal. We normally don't take more than a couple weeks off at a time. And so I think to have it sort of taken away and to have, you know, because we were actually out on tour in California when everything really came down in March, and we were about to start a run of shows with Umphrey's McGee. I was about to debut a new side project with Stasic that night. Like there was a lot of excitement that kind of, there was just like, you know, obviously a hole poked in all of it. And so coming from that experience all the way back in March, you know, fast forward a couple months to June, there was just such a feeling for me at least where I was just like so glad to get to do it any way we could, that the fact that I was playing music with my best friends and I could see people having a joyful experience was enough to make it really special. And I, to be honest, I think I'll probably remember those first shows for the rest of my life because they were so familiar but different, you know, like for something that I've spent so much of my life doing, there was a uniqueness to the feeling that was resonating throughout that situation, even though we were in a parking lot of a drive-in. Like, that part is weird. Like, even on paper, it's weird, but it was actually kind of beautiful.
I can't remember if it was the August 7th show or the August 8th show, but one of them, it was hot. It was like really hot. And you guys were up there sweating and going crazy. I guess it's hard to like turn on a fan when you're playing outdoors, right? I mean, you guys play a few festivals here and there and you play shorter sets of festivals, but these were like full aqueous sets and it gets warm up there, right?
Yeah, so I like to think I learned my lesson from the first run, because in June, the Sunday, we did three shows back to back, you know, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I, for the first, that Sunday show, all the way back in June, I think it got to 93. And my bandmates were making fun of me perpetually because I was the only one in the sun. Like the way that the stage was laid out and the way the sun was coming in from, you know, whatever side, like it was just hitting my side of the stage, which does two things. A, it makes you sweat profusely, but B, you know, as a guitarist, all the effect pedals that I use, they're all, you know, whether they're on or off is indicated by a little LED light. And so when the sun comes in, you can't see anything. Right. And they're over there watching me just beating sweat and like struggling to see what I'm putting my foot in front of the pedals to try to see which ones and singing and balancing and all this craziness. And so after that first one, I was like, okay, that was the only like bad thing, you know, like the only discomfort I experienced here. I'm going to do better next time. And so the next time I brought like an industrial fan, like on stage, like good, just next to me, just this power fan. And I also like put up like a little barrier in front of my pedals to block from the sun. And so I was good to go.
See, you're adjusting to life in quarantine. That's excellent. You recently released a record, a live record, live from Philadelphia, September 18th, 2020. It was from the Ardmore Music Hall. And this was a special night because it basically was that. It was a fan Zoom party, but it was just for a few people that were at the Ardmore, right? It was a select few people that were allowed into that show.
Yeah, exactly. So there was, I think they ended up selling 8 tickets or 10 tickets total, you know, so it was a pretty small amount because, you know, safe, you know, while we all of course want to play shows and get back to normalcy and stuff, like we just did not want to be a part of the problem. And so, you know, to be able to do that safely meant only having that many people in the room. But the plus side of that is for those fans, I think it was a really meaningful, it was basically a private show for them. And, you know, I know, you know, kind of turning the tables, if I was just imagining seeing one of my, if I could see, you know, Fish or see a band that I love in that scenario, I would never, ever forget that either, right? You know? And so I think for those fans, at least what they communicated, it was really special. And for us, even to be playing in an indoor venue for the first time in months, again, felt really special. And also they had it set up, you know, shout out to the folks over at Ardmore for having a great streaming setup where we had a screen in front of us that had all the Zoom parties where we could see people like dancing and having a good time. We could even interact with them a little bit. There was a small delay. So that kind of, you know, like between when, you know, we were ahead. And so when they would respond, it would be like 30 seconds later, but that ended up being like really comedic. And I have to say just the whole ethos of our band has really changed this year. In the sense that, you know, when you tour year round for a decade, you know, you tend to get into a kind of you get into a certain consistency and it becomes a very dialed in professional operation. But in that way, I don't think we realized how much of like a job it had become in a bigger sense, and not because of any choice that we made personally, just by the nature of the machine of, you know, tour, put out an album, festivals, tour, you know, and just the cycle of that. And I think this year, you know, again, getting back to the idea of silver linings, we really were able to kind of have enough time to like see each other outside of the band this year and to like kind of spend a little more time on the interpersonal side of things, and got back to sort of like an ethos of just having fun and like not being too worried about how we're growing and building and all this stuff that goes into the music industry side, because right now there isn't much of a music industry. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it kind of like allowed us to really open things up. And, you know, even musically, like there's just sort of a lighter touch, you know, to this, the performances from this year, because I think there's such a joy and a freedom, and there's like kind of a silliness that got brought back in, like a, you know, a levity almost between us that I kind of missed for a while. And it felt really good to have that come back in. And those shows kind of represented that a little bit for me.
Yeah. I remember when you were playing, you played Jump in August, and that was, and you guys were just having a lot of fun with that. And there were a few other teases along the way that were a lot of fun, but I want to go back to that Ardmore show, because you have released that and it's available now on Spotify and wherever else you stream music from. What struck me is that there are songs here that either I hadn't heard before because I wasn't paying enough attention, or because they are new to the repertoire, mm-hmm. That are really great and really show, I think, in many ways, a growth in the songwriting, not just in the lyrics, but also in the musicianship. And I, you know, Six and Sevens is one of those songs. And I know you've played Good Days before all of this went down, but people haven't heard it necessarily. Those two really stand out for me. Good Days, especially. I mean, that's a song that we should all embrace right now because it is perfect. But talk a bit about the music and where the music's going. You released the EP, and that was a big concentration on really writing music and paying attention to the lyrics and paying attention to song structure and all of that. But talk about some of these songs that, you know, are getting more play now, or even some of the new songs. What's that been like?
Yeah. I think specifically for the new stuff, it's interesting that you brought up, you know, the last EP we did, because I think we needed to do that EP to really just put the work and the time into that experiment of just seeing where we were as songwriters at this newer point in our lives. And I think we decided to go all in on that and be authentic to that approach. And now we're kind of combining what we are, what we were, and what we are at our core, and that songwriting, and kind of marrying the two. And I think we're finding a sweet spot there, because, you know, I think for to do an EP like Burn It Down, it was we really just wanted to challenge ourselves, because it was harder for us to write a 3-minute song than it was for us to write a 9-minute song. And so that was like kind of the thing. But moving into songs like Good Days and Sixes and Sevens, you'll kind of hear a little bit of both. There are melodic sensibilities and almost like, you know, pop sensibilities that happen throughout the song, and even trying to find like uplifting melodies and catchiness and all that good, you know, the side of songwriting. But then there's also like guitar harmonies and like musical, you know, journeys that happen. And that's kind of the, you know, typical Aqueous thing. And so I think we're finding that combining the two, you know, kind of marrying our history of new and old is yielding some really good results. And there's been some really nice collaborative work too between the band, specifically where we're like working on each other's songs and developing each other's songs. And it feels like, you know, like Sixes and Sevens and Good Days. I'm glad you actually brought up both of those, because those are the two newest ones we've written. And I'm like really proud of where we're going. You know, it feels like a natural organic step for us, and I'm having a lot of joy playing them. And Sixes and Sevens, I think that was only the second or third time we played it, and we're starting to like stretch that one out and get comfortable, and you know, and like you said, I think even you know, finding content lyrically that is based in our own lives and also can communicate on stuff that maybe a lot of people probably go through and are going through, you know, is feels really good right now. And I think I'm glad that resonated with you.
Hopefully it resonates with everybody. I think it does. I mean, those are two really great songs, and they do show your prowess as a jam band, but also lyrically, I think they're really great as well. Has this time sort of not being on the road allowed you guys to practice more, play together more? You mentioned that you get to know each other as people, not as part of a machine at this point. But has that allowed you guys to focus in on writing more together, hanging out more together, or is it just downtime being with family is the actual cure for all of this?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the secret to any good life is balance, you know, and I think the, you know, when you're younger, it's easier to just go all in on something like, and, you know, be on the road for 140, 160 shows a year. And not that we can't do that now, but I think, you know, a lot changes in this, you know, in even the age that we are now versus when we started. You know, we're all about 30 at the moment. And when we started, we were 16. And so a lot of life and development and character change happens in that time. And I think, so interpersonally, you know, we're all old friends, you know, and Rob is new, you know, our drummer Rob is a little bit newer, but at this point he's been in the band almost 5 years. So it's not that new. And, you know, we all have a really great dynamic, but I think what was happening is just the going so long without a real break for all of us. And like a lot of life happening in between that, what was a strain we didn't even notice until we had a little bit of time to settle down. And then all of a sudden it almost felt like we could all breathe again. And I think it relieved a little bit of tension. I think that we didn't even totally see was there. And then all of a sudden it became so much more joyful again. And so I think that was, and again, I want to be careful with how I'm describing this, because it wasn't not joyful before that. I just, you don't sometimes realize that it could be better, that something was missing, until you have some room or space for perspective. And I did want to touch on what you mentioned about playing and you know, because actually, ironically, I almost feel like I've played my guitar more during this off time than I do on tour. And that's probably not true if you're measuring it by the hours, but I mean, you know, as far as hours performed, because, you know, you play two sets every night forever, yeah, that's going to add up. But the intentional playing that I'm experiencing now, because I'm teaching online like full time, and I have a lot of students that I work with. And the more time I spend doing that, I actually, it gets turned right back inwards. Like, you know, like when I teach like that, I end up like just almost reteaching myself as well. And it inspires me. And so I feel like I've actually been putting in more time on my craft than I've been able to previously, because when we tour, you know, I'm exercising my ability and we're playing and improvising and stuff, but I'm actually like growing, like, and doing, you know, like learning new things and upping my skill level. And I think to a point that happens organically on the road, but to have time to actually like woodshed, you know, to sit in my room and like just play like I used to when I was 13 has been of great benefit, you know. And I'm finding that when we do have shows, there's a lot of good stuff coming out, you know, like I think the space has been good, you know.
What's next? I mean, it's hard to say what's next in terms of playing, at least playing live, but are you guys writing new material for a new record? Are you thinking about potential New Year's Eve? I just saw Spafford announced a pair of New Year's Eve shows. Are you working on those plans as well?
So for us right now, we're kind of just taking it slow, you know, and sort of assessing the changes, you know, as they come. Cause, you know, here in New York State, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like shifting rules and changes that we're always kind of looking out for. And so really, you know, there is songs being worked on and crafted, you know, and we practice, you know, every couple, you know, really every, like once every 2 weeks or so, but we've also been getting together and recording some improv sessions that I'm like pretty excited about. There's no purpose. We just get together and jam. And that feels really good for us right now, because that's something I always like to do, but we never really have the time, you know? And so again, kind of going back to that, that's what we've been spending our time on recently, which is sort of the opposite of the year prior to it, where we were just like, we'd get together and be like, okay, where's this song at? This section needs to, you know, and this, and just really working. And now we're just getting together and just kind of jamming. And that feels pretty good for the moment, you know?
I think, forget me if I'm wrong, but I think if I remember correctly, you guys did like a live show, and I want to say in Rochester, maybe last summer, that was full improv, and you put it out, and a bunch of heads were really excited that you did a full improv show and released it. How hard is it for you guys? Is it a matter of determining what's tasteful when you guys are jamming alone every couple weeks and putting it out? Or just putting it out for the sake of, what's the kind of the balance there between putting out improvised music that sounds good and putting out material that's sort of polished and sounds really good that you won't get hated on, you know, social media and stuff?
I mean, I think the irony of the jam band scene is they're more likely to hate on our polished stuff than they are on our improv stuff. Fair. And I get why. And I think that's kind of like something I've come to terms with more, because, you know, my personality is pretty rooted in perfectionism and making things just so. And you can hear that in my guitar style too. It's very clean.
Yeah.
but I've been kind of like working away from that, even as a person and as a band we have been as well, and just kind of just maybe reassessing the landscape a little bit. Because it's funny, when you talk, the Rochester show you talked about was a big deal for us, because it was our, you know, we improvise all the time, but that was like, you know, we decided to not even play a song to improvise out of. We just were going to improv, and ended up being over an hour long, and it was incredible. But it's funny because the stakes are higher in a circumstance like that, because it's going to come out. You know what I mean? Like, people were there, so they're going to experience it. It's going to be on Nugs. But luckily, it went great, you know, and you just hope that it will. And I remember for us, it was a bigger show. You know, we had moved up to a bigger venue and it sold out, and it was very exciting. And so for us to like, I remember, like, with, you know, just a little bit of anxiety around that uncertainty, we structured the night where it was, we did a regular set, the full improv in the middle, and then did another set after, right, just in case, you know what
safety
I mean? Like,
blanket.
If we fell on our face, we got it. Yeah. But luckily, I mean, the highlight of the night by far was the improv set, and it was incredible. And I think we learned that evening that even under pressure, we're like really capable of being a good improvisation act. And I think to give ourselves more space to flex that muscle has been actually really exciting to me. And so this past year, you know, even one of the Live From Out There sets, we did a one song set based on our Way to the Word. And that was over an hour too. And that was really cool. And then we decided to not write any set lists for the rest of the year when we go on stage and play. And so every show this year has been no set list. We just go up there and call them and feel it out. And that's a big change for us too. And then we did another one song set live at the second drive-in show in June. So we've been kind of dancing more with that idea, and it's felt really good actually. Like I like how our band works under that circumstance, because like we almost transform a little bit into something else. And it's like another side of us that I wasn't even familiar with myself, and I've been really liking that.
So what would it take for you guys to, on your next session, to just hit record and put it out and whatever it is?
So that we actually have been recording them.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I have a date on the books next week to meet with one of our engineers and start mixing it, because, you know, that's been another thing that's been really fun. So this live record that we just put out, the Live in Philly one, I mixed that with our engineer, which is something I like to do. I'm very into the audio side as well. And, you know, I've done some production and produced like some other people's records. I've produced most of the recent Aqueous records. And so to have time to like sit and go through stuff and make it sound real nice and balanced has been really cool. But we have actually been recording. We've only done one session so far. We've got another one on the book soon, to just go, and again, where we just go to our space and just start jamming. But we do hit record, and so, you know, I'll thumb through that and see how it goes. But my plan is to really not get too attached to my own opinion of it. You know, like I think there's a danger with threatening, like, you know, it's not up to me. Like I like, you know, I was part of the experience of creating it, but that almost makes me the worst candidate ever to yes. gauge whether it's good or not. You know what I mean? It's not for me. It's for other people to interpret. And I found with improvisation, you know, it's not like, I think, again, being more of a perfectionist mindset previously in my life, I would get bummed about like wrong notes or stuff that was more dissonant by accident or whatever. But then I realized it doesn't matter at all, you know, like, and it's just about the energy and the vibe and the creativity. And I think, you know, and I have to say this too, Fish's sets that they've been releasing on, you know, now they've, you know, now Trey's got his Beacon shows, but prior they were doing the Tuesday nights, the dinner and a movie. And I watched every single one of them. And so even having time to reacquaint myself with Fish and with jam bands again, you know, like, cause there was a time when I kind of just moved away naturally from listening to jam bands, because we were one and I was in the scene and it was everywhere I turned. So I kind of just naturally gravitated towards anything else, but like kind of getting in touch again with my jam band roots this year and like listening to more Fish and some Dead. And, you know, like that has been, I think, a bit responsible for some of this freedom we've been exploring, you know?
How good have those Trey shows been?
They've been amazing. They're beautiful and innovative too.
Yeah.
You know, I just listened to I had missed the last one and people were like, yo, you got to check out that You Enjoy Myself with the Rescue Squad Strings. And I did. And I like just, I have chills right now just thinking.
Yeah,
about
I got
it.
A
like,
chill it too.
You know, it's really beautiful stuff.
Yeah. It's great that you're sort of growing. I mean, this is all about this time away from being on the road has really allowed the band to mature probably in a much faster way than had you been on the road
doing those 140 dates as you want to do, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, as much as it's difficult to figure out, like from a business standpoint, because, you know, certainly a band that is built on touring, when you take that away, there's not a lot of money floating around. So, right. You know, having, you know, putting that issue aside, I actually do think that it's been a positive thing for us. And a lot of the musicians that I stay in touch with, I mean, that's the beauty of this scene, is that everybody is very inclusive and friendly, but like a lot of the musicians that I talk to are experiencing the same thing, you know, just having time and space for a little bit of balance of life and wellness and self-care and, you know, having everything stripped away from what we normally know is pretty humbling. You know, I mean, I think like for me, even the first time in 10 years that I've slowed down enough to be like, oh, there's a lot of other things going on. And like, you know, and being able to like safely see family and connect with people, like that's all good stuff, you know? So yeah, I mean, ultimately, as crazy of a thing as it is, and you know, the parts of it that are negative, it actually has been very good for us, I think.
Thanks so much for taking the time. I'm glad to see that you're skating a lot more, which is great. Shout out to skateboarders and reliving your youth. It's an important thing to do as well. And thanks for taking the time, dude. And, you know, I really am impressed with the sound of the band of late. I mean, I'm really enjoying you guys a lot. And the live record's really something. So thanks for that. And thanks for taking the time today. We really appreciate it. And continued success, whatever that looks like in the next couple months, and we'll be watching and listening, and we'll be in touch.
I appreciate that, Ira. Thanks for having me on, man. It's always a pleasure.
For more on Aqueous, visit aqueousband.com. Check out Live from Philadelphia September 18, 20, wherever you listen to tunes. Before we leave you, here's another track from that show. Here is Good Days.
Follow
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.